The reading today comes from Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elements of spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. You've been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross.
Thanks, Wes. It's lovely to have those kids with us who haven't gone out Sunday school. If you've stayed in here with us, we love having you here among us. And don't forget that down the back on the table, there are some activity sheets and some colouring pencils. And there's questions on there designed to help you follow along with the sermon. And those are particularly designed for our grade 4 kids. That's the year that kids transition out of Sunday school into staying in the service for the sermon. So please do feel free to make use of those. Today we are beginning a new four-part sermon series called Walking in Freedom. This series is going to have a particular focus on pornography and lust and how we can overcome these sins in our lives. But it's also going to have a much broader focus than that, because the four practical tools that we're going to be looking at over these four sermons will help us to fight all manner of temptations and sins in our lives. But this may have come as a bit of a shock to you, and you might be asking, why do we need to talk about pornography? Well, here's why. Pornography is no longer limited to those few magazines that you have to brazenly walk into a shop to buy. The amount of pornographic content available today is terrifying, and the ease with which it can be accessed on the internet is terrifying. The statistics on pornography use in Australia are staggering. One recent study found that 99% of men aged under 30 accessed pornography in the last year, and many of these were habitual consumers. 85% accessed pornography at least once a week. Another study found that the average age of first exposure to pornography for boys and girls is about 13 years old, but that some kids are encountering it as early as 8 years old. So if you're a parent of a school-aged child like I am, it's time to get our heads out of the sand and help our kids navigate life in this world. Studies also show that pornography is not just a guy problem. According to a study last year, 69% of girls and young women in Australia have viewed pornography. Women can experience a lot of shame around this because pornography is often unhelpfully labelled a guy problem, which is not true. It may be that women are tempted in slightly different ways. They are often less visually oriented than men and may turn to things like erotic fiction or online chat rooms or fantasy. But one thing is for sure, sexual temptation is a huge struggle for Australian men and women of all ages, including Christians. Many churches avoid talking about this issue. But that doesn't mean it's not a huge problem amongst Christians. In fact, our failure to talk openly about these things leaves many in the church feeling like they are trapped, alone, in the dark, ashamed, helpless. I'm absolutely convinced there are many right here in Riverbank in this situation, and it's a tragedy because we end up being cut off from the support and the help that we so desperately need. And so, Riverbank, that's why we need to talk about pornography. Now, I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe you're completely, hopelessly addicted right now. Maybe porn's only just starting to become a bit of a problem. Maybe you're fighting it and you're mostly winning. Or maybe this really isn't your struggle. But perhaps you are the spouse or the parent or the friend of someone for whom it is. Whatever the case, I really, really want you to know there is hope. Freedom is possible. Some of you can't even imagine what that would be like. You've despaired of ever being free. And I can relate because I once felt like that. I too once thought that I would be trapped forever. But I have learned from God's word and from personal experience and from the testimonies of hundreds of other Christians that there really is hope. It is really possible to walk in freedom. But here's the thing. Freedom doesn't start where we think it does. Perhaps you've found yourself on Google and you've been searching for strategies to overcome a porn addiction. And there are heaps of strategies out there. Take up a hobby. Do more exercise. Distract yourself. Hang out with friends. Spend less time on your phone. And all of those strategies can be helpful, but they all have one big problem. The problem is that they all focus on me. They focus on what is my problem and what I am going to do about it. In his excellent book called Finally Free, American pastor Heath Lambert gives a very insightful description of what often happens after we look at porn. Lambert writes, "You sin and look at pornography. Then you start thinking, I'm terrible. I'm awful. What was I thinking? If my friends knew what I was doing, they'd never talk to me again. I can never be in ministry if I don't quit doing this. What if my spouse finds out? What if my girlfriend finds out? What if my parents find out? What if my pastor finds out? What if people at church find out? I don't deserve to be a Christian. Maybe I'm not a Christian." On and on it goes. You cycle through these mental punishments that grow out of guilt and fuel even more guilt. None of this is helpful, but it's what most people do in their struggle with pornography and lust. Mental punishments are not helpful because they deal with sin in a self-centered way instead of a Christ-centered way. It's all about you. The problem is there is too much you in all this. You need Christ. Now, I think Heath Lambert has absolutely hit the nail on the head when it comes to fighting sin. And hey, I'm not just talking about sexual sin. Think about the sin that you are struggling with at the moment in your life. We too often focus on ourselves when we should focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. This is the first and the most essential tool that we need in our toolbox if we're ever going to walk in freedom. And I know that some of you are frustrated that I've just said this. Because you were hoping that I was going to say, guys, just go home, do this, job done. It's that easy. Now, don't worry, we will get very practical in the weeks ahead. But we can't start there. Because the biggest problem is not with our actions. The biggest problem is with our hearts. The biggest issue is that we keep focusing on ourselves when we need to focus more on Jesus. So why should we focus on Jesus? That beautiful passage that Wes just read for us in Colossians 2 tells us exactly why. It gives us two great reasons why we should focus on Jesus. So please open your Bible to Colossians 2 if you haven't already, and let's look at these awesome verses together. Two reasons why we need to focus on Jesus. Here's reason number one. Jesus frees us from the guilt of our sin. Jesus frees us from the guilt of our sin. Do you want to hear the best news in the whole world? Then let's read verses 13 and 14 together. Colossians 2 verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. God forgave how many of our sins, did it say? All of them. But don't we stand condemned for all the ways we've broken God's law? Don't we deserve God's perfect, holy wrath and judgment? Yes, we do. But Paul says God took that legal charge that condemned us and he nailed it to the cross. Can you picture it? All of the sins that I have ever committed and ever will commit, written on a piece of paper, a very, 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 very long piece of paper, filled completely in size 6 font. And there, right at the bottom, is the judge's sentence. And it says, Reuben is sentenced to eternity in hell for treason against his almighty creator. Now, where is that piece of paper? Where is my death sentence? It is flapping in the breeze on a hill outside of Jerusalem, pinned to a blood-stained cross with a nail. When did Jesus do that? When did he take all the punishment for our sins on himself? He did it 2,000 years ago, and verse 13 says he did it while we were still dead in our sins. Not after we said sorry and cleaned ourselves up, but while we were still helplessly trapped in our sins. Oh, we so often forget that, don't we? We so often think to ourselves, well, I need to sort myself out before I can come back to God, right? What keeps us away from him? Our guilt, our shame, our self-loathing, and Satan loves it when we think like that. Because as we stand there in our shame, Satan whispers in our ear, yeah, God doesn't really want you right now. Not in this state. I wouldn't bother going back and asking for forgiveness yet. Not until you've cleaned up your act at least a bit. Oh, what a toxic, deadly, evil lie that is. Do you know what that lie does? It keeps us away from the only one who can actually help us to get free. Isn't that crazy? Because you know, Jesus didn't run away from sinners, did he? He ran towards them. He didn't shrink back. He extended his arms in warm embrace. Yes, yes, he did call them to leave their sin, to go away and sin no more, but only after they had already come to him for forgiveness and for help. The order of those two things is absolutely vital. Please hear this. Please. Christianity is not be good and then God will accept you. No, no, no. It is about God accepting us while we are still dripping with sin. And then he empowers us to go and live a new life. We don't get free and then come to God. No, we come to God in order to get free. So what are you going to do next time you fall into sin? What will you do with your guilt? Please rush back to your gracious God. Get there as quick as you can. Don't even hesitate for a moment. Don't stop and wallow in self-pity. Don't focus so much on yourself as you focus on Jesus and what he achieved for you on the cross. Will you do that? This is the first reason why we really need to focus on Jesus, because he frees us from the guilt of our sin. But then, what? What happens next? You come to God, you confess your sin, you put your faith in Jesus, and your sins are washed away. And then what? That's what the Christians in the city of Colossae were wondering. These Colossians, they'd put their faith in Jesus, they'd been forgiven, but now what? Paul's answer to them in Colossians 2 is very, very clear. Now, everything changes. Because Jesus doesn't just free us from the guilt of our sin, he also frees us from the power of our sin. This is our second point. Jesus frees us from the power of our sin. Have another look at Colossians 2. I really want you to see this in the text. We're going to read from verse 9. And we're going to scan for how Jesus frees us from the power of our sin. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. That's the God-man, isn't it? And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by hands. Your whole self, ruled by flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Okay, track with me. See, let's try and get this. I know it's the time to fall asleep, but let's not. Paul's describing what happens here when someone is saved, okay? He says, verse 13, you used to be dead in your sins. Verse 11, your whole self was ruled, was dominated by the sinful flesh. Hey, have you ever felt the grip of lust on your heart? Then you know what Paul is talking about. You know that sin isn't just something bad that you sometimes do. No, sin is a power. It is a slave master. It is a vice-like grip on your heart that twists and distorts everything about you. But what happens when we put our faith in Christ? Paul says, we aren't just freed from the guilt of our sin. We are freed from its power. We're not just forgiven. We're completely remade. Verse 11 says, your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off. Verse 12, then you were raised with Christ. And then verse 13, God has now made you alive with Christ. It's so important that we grasp this. If you are a believer, you are a new creation. You are. Believe it. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You are no longer a slave to sin. Its power has been broken. You can say no. It means you can really start to change. You can start killing sin. You can start growing in holiness. This process won't be complete till we reach heaven, but right now you can expect real progress and real victories. Do you believe that? It's true, because Christ is in you, and his resurrection power is coursing through your veins. And Satan and all his evil forces have lost their power over you. See verse 15. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle, a mockery of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Think about it. If Jesus has saved you, what can Satan do to you? He whispers in your ear, You're pathetic. You're too much of a screw up for God to use. You're a huge disappointment to Jesus. Just give up. Well, you're behind. But if you're in Christ, you respond, yeah, I am an unworthy sinner, but God has taken away the record of my sin. He's nailed it to the cross, and I'm not alone. I have a friend. He's the friend of sinners. And he loves it when I come to him for help. And he's put his Holy Spirit in me, and he's slowly but surely changing me every day. That is the freedom that comes from focusing on Jesus. He frees us from the guilt of our sin and from the power of our sin, bit by bit by bit. Okay, so where does that leave us? I think the logical conclusion is we should come to Jesus. We should focus on Jesus. But how are you going with that? How are you going at the moment with focusing on Jesus? If you're like me, it's a struggle. It's a struggle because the natural impulse is just to keep bringing the focus back to ourselves. How many of us, we go to Jesus to forgive our sins, and then we go back to fighting that sin in our own strength, or Googling how to do it? That was a big problem for the Christians Paul's writing to in Colossae. You can see in verse 8 how they were being tempted to trust in human strategies and techniques. And Paul says, there's no power in this. Human efforts are hollow and deceptive. They can't free us from the sinful desires that are ruling our hearts. You cannot beat sexual temptation just by being more disciplined and trying harder. And so Paul urges us in verses 6 and 7, have a look there, amazing verses. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Continue in Him, literally walk in Him. Put your roots down deep in Him. Be built up with Him as your foundation. Let Him strengthen you. Let Him fill you with thankfulness. A man once went to the oncologist because he had cancer. And she treated him until he went into remission. But that wasn't all that happened, because in the process, they fell in love. And eventually, don't worry, it was all above board. After the treatment, they got married. And now the man sees his oncologist every day. But not because he still has cancer. He sees her because he loves her, and he wants to spend every day of his life with her. Sometimes when it comes to fighting pornography, we treat Jesus as nothing more than just an oncologist. We don't really want a relationship with Him. We just want Him to dig us out of this hole that we're in right now. If you've fallen down this rabbit hole, have you noticed how your whole spiritual life becomes dominated by this one struggle? And our prayers become little more than, oh, Jesus, please help me to get rid of this sin again. I just need to get my life back on track. If you could just dig me out of this, I'll be good. But Jesus wants far more than that from us. He doesn't just want to give us freedom from porn. He wants to give us Himself. He wants to be your Lord, Lord of your life. He wants to be your joy. He wants to be your heart's desire. He wants to be your life's purpose. And again, some of you have been disappointed to hear that. You'd hope for a quick fix, and here I am calling you to a lifelong commitment of following Jesus, where sexual purity, it's just going to be one small piece in the puzzle. But as long as you feel disappointed about that, you've actually missed who Jesus really is. You've misunderstood what it will actually mean to walk in freedom. You're standing in a bakery full of treats and you're asking for a piece of buttered toast. The only way we will stop longing for the shallow, fleeting, dodgy pleasures of this world is if our hearts are captured by something more precious. You know how the 18-year-old guy, he's not as interested in his matchbox cars as he used to be, because he just got his peace and his very own car. In a moment, we're going to sing these amazing words. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And what's going to happen as you do that? The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's where freedom from sexual temptation starts. Not with focusing on my failures, not with trying harder to sort myself out, but with focusing on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and remember he loves me in spite of my sin. He has taken away my guilt. He has made me alive. He's filled me with his Spirit. He's prepared a glorious future for me, and he has prepared good works for me to do today. So perhaps this morning is going to be the first time that you truly put your faith in Jesus. How awesome. Jesus is ready. Give him all your guilt. Ask him to set you free and help you live a new life with him. That's the first step. Verse 6, Paul calls it receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. Come chat to me afterwards if you'd like some help in knowing how to do that. But what about for those who have already done that? We need to continue our lives in him. I'm trying to grow some plants at my house at the moment, and I quite often forget to water them. And sometimes I get sick of watering them, to be honest, and I wish I could just stand out there with a hose and give them such a big dose that I don't have to go back out and do it again for a whole month. But that's not how it works. Not for plants and not for Christians. Like a car needs frequent servicing, like a stomach needs frequent feeding, like a child needs frequent hugs, we need frequent doses of Jesus' love and grace. And so as we finish right now, I want to invite you to take a quiet moment to seek his grace again. Don't wait to go home and sort yourself out first. Right now, can I invite you to bow your head and pray quietly? Bring all your sin to him now. Whatever it is at the moment, it might not be porn, it might be pride, it might be anger, it might be bitterness. Bring it to him now. Receive his forgiveness. Believe that the Spirit lives in you. Don't just pray for Jesus to free you from whatever sin you're struggling with at the moment. Pray that he would be the center of your whole life. Pray that he would lead you into such a deep and joyful relationship with him that the things of this world grow strangely dim. Lord God, we thank you that when we were dead in our sins, you made us alive with Christ. Thank you that you have forgiven us all our sins and nailed them to the cross. And now we pray, help us to continue to live our lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. Well, the music is